Why do we gather together in church on a Sunday morning? What are our church services about? Why do we do the things that we do in those services? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking in our sermons at some of those questions. And in particular, we're going to take different elements of our services and delve a little deeper into them to discover more about why they make up our services and why we're doing it. So in the following weeks, we're going to look at why we have confession. We're going to look at why we pray intercessions, what we gain from reading scripture, and also looking at the dismissal, this idea of us being sent out, and what is that about. And today, I'm going to be focused on the question of why we share communion. Why is it that we have this ceremony where we have bread, or in our case, sort of a little wafer, and drink wine? And I always find it interesting because most of the time, when you've been in a church community for a long time, it feels totally normal. Why wouldn't you do these things? But if you look at it from an outsider perspective, it's totally weird, okay? Trust me, it's totally weird. We come together on a Sunday morning. We tell a story about a meal that Jesus shared with his friends, where he tells us that wine is his blood, and bread is his flesh, and that we should eat and drink it to remember him. And then we take a tiny bit of bread or a wafer and one sip of wine, and that's what we do. Which I would argue is a little bit bizarre, and actually quite gruesome if you think about it too closely. And yet this has been done by Christians for over 2,000 years. The earliest Christians shared this practice. And actually, they were considered quite sinister and a bit gruesome by the surrounding people. There were rumors which went round the Roman Empire in the time of those early Christians that Christians were actually cannibals. They believed that the Christians were actually sacrificing people during their services. And to be honest, with all this talk of flesh and blood, you can kind of see where the rumors came from. Now, I hope that we all know and trust that Christians are not cannibals, and that we don't sacrifice people in our services. But why do we have this strange practice, and what is it supposed to be about? Now, I think there's actually many answers to the question of why we share communion. And in the short amount of time I have, I can only really scratch the surface of the question. So can I encourage you to take the question away with you? Why do I take communion? Why do we share communion? And ponder on it. Even after I finish speaking today. Because I think it's one of those questions which actually has a lot of layers to it. I think on some level it's really simple to answer, but on another level it is so deeply mysterious that I would challenge anybody to really truly say they understand the fullness of what communion is about. But let's start with the more kind of straightforward and simple stuff and then see where we get. So the simplest and most obvious answer to the question of why do we share communion is because we are told to. Because we're told to. The communion or the Eucharist or the Mass or whatever you want to call it is something that we believe that Jesus instructed us to do. As he sat at that table with the disciples at the Last Supper, he took the bread and the wine and he gave it to them saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then we have this practice started by the very earliest Christian communities. We read about it in the book of Acts and in Paul's letters. And actually those were written even before the Gospels were written. So we had Paul having a massive rant at the Corinthian church about getting this all wrong and doing it in a way which was totally not respectful. So we know that those early Christian communities were doing this. Now they had some slightly different practices. Some were doing something which we would call like an agape meal, so it was much more shared within the context of like a full meal together. But there was also this sort of practice of the more ritualized version of sharing that in their services. So Jesus told us to do it. That's why we consider it a sacrament in the Anglican Church, because it was something which was directly instigated by Jesus. And it wasn't an arbitrary command by Jesus. It came as part of a much bigger story. It was part of the story of God's rescue and freedom for God's people. So it was no accident that Jesus had his Last Supper as part of the festival of Passover, the annual festival when the Jews remembered and told the story of how God had set them free from the Egyptians and from slavery. The celebration of Passover was instructed by God, as we saw in the Old Testament reading we had. It was so important that everybody had to celebrate it. Otherwise, they were cut off from the community. That's how central it was. But interestingly, it was also very inclusive, because not only was it for the Jews, but also for the aliens who lived amongst them. There was the same invitation and expectation there for all, both the Jews and the non-Jews who were living with them as part of their community. So Jesus' instruction for us to remember is rooted in that earlier instruction from God, to remember God's rescue, to remember the time when God set people free. And then the story of the Israelites becoming free now becomes the story of God throwing that door open wide and that invitation to all people. So the rescue from slavery in Egypt now becomes the rescue from the slavery of sin and death. That small story suddenly becomes a bigger story. And in the reading from John's Gospel, Jesus taught the people this. He said, "I tell you the truth." And you know when Jesus says that, he's going to say something really important. "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." When it comes to thinking about what is actually going on during communion, people have different views. Okay, if you've heard these lovely terms bandied around, transubstantiation, consubstantiation, or memorial meal, people think that different things are going on in that place and in that space. For some, the bread and wine is just a memorial. It's just something that we use to remember Jesus. For others, there's something much more mysterious about what's happening, and in some spiritual and mysterious way, the blood actually becomes Jesus' blood, and the bread actually becomes Jesus' body. Now, I'm not here to tell you which one is right. For me, I'm confident that Jesus gave himself over to death to bring me life, and that he is present by his Spirit. Now, whether that presence resides in an extra special way in that bread and that wine, and that's how I receive it, well, that's one way. Or if at that moment, as I open my hands and seek to receive from God and receive the bread and wine, the Spirit is present within me in a very special way as I receive it. I don't know. I think for me the most important thing is that at communion, we are asking and we are receiving from God. In communion, we are asking and we are receiving from God. And again, we call communion a sacrament, and the definition of a sacrament is an outward symbol of an inward grace. So outwardly, we are receiving bread and wine, but inwardly, we are receiving the power and the presence and the love of God. And so communion is something which connects us to God. We come to God. We receive from God. But it's also something that connects us to one another. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. That's what we say. And I learned this most profoundly through my son, Zach. When he was 7, he said something to me, and I have asked his permission to share it, but it was so deeply profound, it entirely changed the way I saw and understood things. And it was a time when we were having a bit of a battle at the front of communion. I don't know if you've ever seen other families doing this. Because my children really wanted communion. And I was like, "No, you've got to wait. This is a really serious thing." And so we get to the front, and there's always this slight tussle. Occasionally, they were launching at the priest to try and get the bread. And I said to him one day, I said, "Why do you want to share the communion? Why is it so important?" And he said, "Because it reminds me every week that I belong to the family of God." And in that moment, I knew that he understood communion better than I did. There was something that he was getting that actually went beyond what I was understanding. I could tell you historically why we share communion. I could tell you the theological significance of why we share communion. But he said something which was far deeper and more profound than I had previously understood. That this bread and this wine is telling us that we are family. This bread and this wine is telling us that we each belong. This bread and this wine is a great leveler because we can participate in it no matter what other barriers there might be. We could be rich or poor, old or young, well-educated or not. There could be a language barrier. There could be a mental or a physical disability. But when it comes to communion, we are all equal. We all have the same need for God. And we all receive the same love and acceptance from God. So we meet together to share communion because Jesus told us to. It tells the story of God's rescue plan for the world through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Through it, we are connected with God in a very real way. We are connected by his presence, by his spirit. And we receive from God. Yes, we receive the bread and the wine, but we receive more than that. There is a spiritual reality where God is giving of himself to us. And it connects us with one another. It tells us every week that we are part of the family of God. This links actually with one of our vision and value statements here. We say that all find a place to belong. And as we gather around the communion table, and as we share this meal together, that is what we are saying. We all have a place to belong. We belong to God and to each other. So as you come for communion today, remember that this table that we gather around is Jesus' table. It's Jesus who extends that invitation to each one of us to come. And I don't know how you engage with communion, but perhaps if you're sort of a very head person who engages it on an intellectual level, perhaps as you come, try and engage with the heart and say to God, okay, what's happening in my heart as we share this? And if you're somebody who engages naturally with your heart, perhaps think a little bit more about the words that we're saying and the story that it's telling. Sometimes week by week, communion can be something which becomes the routine, and sometimes we need to look afresh again and look to receive with fresh eyes what we are gaining from God. So come and ask. Ask God to give of God's self. And come and receive. Amen.